Welcome to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family with Dr. Greg Smalley and Susie Larson.
Welcome to today's show. We're thrilled that you've joined us. You know, we're here every day to help you live out the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love others as you love yourself. You know, Susie, today we've got a great topic. We want to talk about how to avoid the five biggest mistakes that stepfamilies make. You know, Susie, being in a stepfamily is very, very challenging. And we've got a great guest today, Ron Deal, who's written a wonderful book called The Smart Stepfamily. So he's going to join us here in just a bit. But before we invite Ron into the discussion, I don't know if you know this or not, but I guess it's official today. Today made it official that I'm a pretty big deal. I don't know if you
really?
Knew that.
But, I hadn't got that memo. Wow.
Well, you'll probably be getting one.
Okay.
And let me tell you why I believe this now.
I knew that was coming.
Okay. Remember, I'm on spring break. And
yes,
so
sir.
You can't see me, but I'm actually in shorts. How cool.
That's spring very break. Cool.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're here in Branson, Missouri, visiting my family. And there's this amazing place a little bit west of Branson. The guy that owns and developed Bass Pro Shops built this thing called Dogwood Canyon. If you're ever in the southwestern part of Missouri, you've got to go see this place. There's a river that runs through, and he's just made this great, wonderful park. You can fish and bike ride and
nice.
Hike. And it's just, I mean, you can't really describe how amazing this place is. I can honestly say this, okay? It really is one of my most favorite places on earth because
wow.
I'm a nature guy. I just
yep,
love being out in God's creation. I just feel close to him. And this thing is waterfalls and big, huge trout that you can catch. And so we were in the kind of the gift shop and, you know, paying our money to use the park. And a guy kind of walked by me and stopped and looked at me. And he goes, "Man, you look really familiar." And I went, "Oh, okay." And he goes, "Wait, were you at the Dixie Stampede last night?" And I went, "I was."
No
he went,
way.
"I knew it was you." He goes, "I saw what you did last night." And so let me tell you what happened last night.
Wait
but now
sec,
I'm
so
being
I
recognized.
Okay, so he didn't recognize you, Dr. Greg Smalley, Marriage and Family Counselor.
No.
He
no.
recognized you because you were at the Dixie Stampede.
Yes.
What
it's
happened?
A Dolly Parton's kind of this little
okay.
dinner kind of theater where they do this horse show
an
and
incident?
All this stuff. Well, you might put it that way. Okay, we were there with my family, and my parents somehow volunteered me to be one of the people to participate in the show. So they've got horses all over the place. They have these little contests, and it's north against the south. So two sides of this place, you're competing. There's 1,000 people probably in this building. And so I got picked to do the toilet seat toss.
No
It's a good
way.
Ozark, Southern Missouri, near Arkansas tradition. The toilet seat toss, like horseshoes, but you're using big toilet seat. And so I had to sashay or whatever the right word is out into the middle of this arena where all these horses had been running around, so you had to kind of be careful where you walked. And then I had to, in front of all these people, compete with this other guy and throw these big toilet seats to see who could get a ringer and take one guess at who won.
Well, let's see if you're a big deal. I'd think
I
you
don't
won.
A big deal.
How long
I
did
won.
It take you to acclimate to being in front of a crowd holding a toilet seat surrounded by horse stuff?
A Not long time.
I don't think so. That's your element.
That is my element. But I am the grand champion.
The grand poobah.
Of the horse.
The
toilet seat toss.
Man.
I got a medal.
You got a medal. I saw the picture.
I have a medal.
We're putting that picture on Facebook because maybe you don't
Wait,
know
you
this.
Have the picture?
Well, your wife texted and said
my wife.
He may or may not have thrown a toilet seat and won a prize. May or may not have. So we got to put that on Facebook because you probably don't know this, but Greg is kind of a big deal now. And so I'm praying this doesn't go to your head, Greg. It
well,
seems like it
know,
has a little.
I'll give an autograph. I was thinking about putting my medal up for sale on Craigslist or eBay, you know, see what I can get.
You
maybe
should.
Retire early.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
So that was my evening. What did you do last night? See, I was tossing toilet seats.
I don't have anything. I got
right,
nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
not such a big deal. Yeah.
All right. Let me just tell you, though, honestly, that was very challenging. that whole thing. So it was pretty big deal.
Yeah, it took some skill, I'm sure.
I'm looking for a transition back into our topic.
There isn't
much
one.
Like Susie tossing toilet seats in a big arena. It's challenging.
None.
So
just
is blending two
okay.
families.
Very good.
You know, really, on a serious note, this is my dad and I had the opportunity to write a book together called The Heart of Remarriage. And boy, just an amazing experience. Had the privilege of interviewing lots of families, step families, blended families, just to hear about what was working, what wasn't, and got to know Ron Deal through that experience. And boy, he's going to bless us because this is a man who really understands that. And it's challenging, though. I mean, think about it. You're trying to combine two different households and family cultures. You know, you're dealing with exes and weekend visitations. You know, the confusion and pain that, you know, children feel trying to make sense of a divorce or maybe the death of a parent. You've got new parent, new siblings, maybe an absent biological parent. There's loyalty conflicts, ongoing, you know, potential legal or financial issues. I mean, Susie, this is what I think some of the reasons why just blending two families is so challenging.
Well, I'm so glad that you and your dad addressed this topic. I'm glad Ron did, and that we're addressing it today because, you know, blended families represents a vast amount of our population, and yet there's such a stigma in the church that there's almost, you know, there is a need. Blended families need encouragement, but there's this stigma where it's almost like you can't really talk about it without qualifying it on every single side. But this is a reality for so many families, and they need the encouragement.
Yeah, Susie, I think for my dad and I, and we've talked about this, so I can speak on his behalf. Remember, he was here yesterday sleeping in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
He's not there. He's not here today. I put him to bed before I came on over to the studio. But, you know, when we were doing the press circuit for that book, I was the thing that most amazed me is it seemed like for whatever reason that in order to talk about blended families, step families, that the radio host would almost have to qualify. Like before we started, they would say, now wait, you know, before we bring on, you know, Gary and Greg, we're not saying, you know, we're not advocating for divorce. We're, you know, God hates divorce. We're, you know, don't go out and get a divorce. And it was just, I was like, I've never had that experience when talking about issues that we had to qualify it so much. Mm-hmm. And I'm really looking to hear Ron's sort of take on that. But I was stunned by that.
And didn't you ask somebody one day how that made them feel because they were hearing that over and over again, and that was part of their church culture experience?
Yeah, you know, the families that we ended up interviewing, just asking, what is that like, kind of this cultural way that we maybe treat stepfamilies, and just the tears and the brokenness and the shame and feeling marginalized and minimized and there's something wrong with us. And, you know, you're never going to meet, I'm telling you this, you're never going to meet anybody more passionate about marriage than me. And yet this, we shouldn't have to qualify, you know, to be able to talk about blended families. I don't know where that's come from, but I imagine Ron can help us out. But, you know, Susie, in spite of the challenges, though, that blended families face, you know, we really do believe a step family can absolutely thrive if you learn to avoid the five big mistakes. And Ron's going to talk to us about these. So let's get Ron involved. Let me introduce. Ron's a good friend, but here's sort of his technical bio. Ron Deal is the founder of Smart Step Families. He's the director of Blended Family Ministries at Family Life. He's the author of The Smart Step Family and many other books. Ron is a licensed marriage and family therapist who frequently appears on national media, including Family Life Today and Focus on the Family and the 700 Club. Ron and his wife, Nan, have been married since 1986 and have three boys. So, Ron, we welcome you to Everyday Relationships.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you. And, Greg, it's always good to work with you, but I have a feeling it's going to be better to work with Susie.
But now,
I
Ron,
win.
Wait a minute.
Because anybody who throws toilet seats for a living.
Exactly.
I have a medal, though. Does that change things at all?
A medal that stands out in the bathroom? You're proud of that?
Yes. You know what? I didn't win a lot of medals growing up, so I'm wearing the medal right now, actually. So I think I deserve more respect, but that's okay. Ron, it is always great to have you. Hey, I don't know if you were able to hear some of what Susie and I were talking about, but have you had that experience or have seen that when talking about blended families? Does it seem like that sometimes people feel like they've got to qualify that and somehow explain that we're not advocating for divorce and you know, God hates divorce? Because I'd love to hear kind of your take on that. I know we got to take a quick break, so think about that when we get back.
Absolutely. So glad you tuned in today. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. As Greg said, Ron Deal joins us today. We're going to talk about the 5 biggest mistakes that stepfamilies make. Are you living in a blended family? What's been your greatest challenge? What have you learned that works? We'd love to hear from you as well. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Talking to Ron Deal after the break.
Disagreements always provide a bumpy ride, especially in a family. If they're left unresolved, they can cause relationships to crash.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the seatbelt sign, indicating our initial descent into Des Moines.
That's the Buke!
Be the one to make sure your family works out its differences. Don't let your relationships become hopelessly lost. A message from Focus on the Family.
People rely on Focus on the Family for trusted advice based in biblical truth. But how do you cope with a culture that opposes truth, that redefines it? Focus on the Family President Jim Daly says that debating is not the answer, and by doing so, we're missing the point.
We've focused a lot on righteousness and living righteously, but I think we're missing something in that. I think we have to look also at God's grace.
In his new book, Refocus, he encourages us to demonstrate the love of Christ by the way we live our lives.
To live out our faith in front of the world, in our marriages, in our families, in such a way that it glorifies the Lord and brings honor to him.
And to transform hearts, not with condemnation, but with a focus on love.
Jesus was accused of being a friend of sinners. That's what the Pharisees didn't like about him. What he's saying to us is go out, engage, and show the world my love and my truth.
Help transform the culture with the powerful advice you'll find in Jim Daly's new book, Refocus. For more information, visit focusonthefamily.com. At Focus on the Family, we care about your children.
There are no perfect dads. My dad wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect. Believe it or not, children just want their dad to be there.
We care about your marriage.
You know, rain and wind and storms, it's going to come to everybody. But if you build your house on the rock, you'll stay. He didn't say it's not going to rain. He just said it's going to stay. So really the secret, I think, to a successful marriage is building the blocks, and it takes pain.
We care about your health.
I've done this so many times. I've lost weight, gained it, lost it, gained it. You know, a lot of people think that craving is bad, but actually what I discovered as I read through the Bible, God made us to crave. But the reason God made us to crave or want deeply, desire greatly, is so that we would always crave more of him.
At Focus on the Family, we care about you. So connect with us at focusonthefamily.com or at 1-800-A-FAMILY. Focus on the Family, helping families thrive.
All the life kind of went out of me. All the energy went out of me. It had beaten me.
Depression takes on many forms: anxiety, fear, even obsessiveness. And it affects many people, even pastors.
There is an inner black cloud, and your life as you knew it has ended. You know, when you disappear from a church pulpit like I did for 4 months because I just had to rest, I couldn't go through the pain. It stopped me. It had beaten me.
If you're overwhelmed and need help, there's hope in Pastor Tommy Nelson's story, Walking on Water When You Feel Like You're Drowning, the must-read book about depression, anxiety.
All I need to know is that my Father is holding the rope. You've got to know who's holding that rope. God was saying, I know where you are. You're mixed up. You don't know where you are. You're exhausted. You've beaten yourself up. I've got you, though. And you just hang on. I'm going to get you out of this.
Walking on Water When You Feel Like You're Drowning. Learn more at FocusOnTheFamily.com/walkingonwater. That's FocusOnTheFamily.com/walkingonwater.
Are you living in a blended family? Well, you picked a great day to join us. Welcome to Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're joined today by Ron Deal. He is the founder of Smart Step Families. He's the director of Blended Family Ministries at Family Life. And maybe you've got a question about how to navigate these waters. We'd sure love to hear from you. Ron's got a lot of wisdom he can share. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. And before the break, Ron, Greg set up such a good question about this qualifying statement around step families and how that even lands on step families. Love to have you speak to that.
Yeah, I have the same experience that Greg has had. 9 out of 10 radio interviews that I do start with an apology before we can get into the topic. And, you know, let me be benevolent for a minute, okay, and then I'll come around the other side. I understand why people do that. We don't want to send the wrong message in doing step family ministry. We don't want to imply to people, hey, if this marriage isn't going so great, just dump this, you know, your first wife and go run out and find another one. That's absolutely not the message anybody is conveying. While I am passionate about blended families and really believe, as Greg said, that they can be redemptive in nature, there's also some very unique challenges and some very significant challenges. And so people need to know that. They need to know that a second family is not the same as a first family, and they're not reproducing a first family. If you can stay in a first marriage, you absolutely should. I think we're called as Christians to do that. So the apology tends to stem from the fear that somehow we're going to soften God's definition of marriage, God's ideas of marriage, and as we all know, our culture today is radically trying to change God's definition of marriage. So to the listener today, I would say, be assured, nobody's doing that. We're not doing that. What we're trying to do is extend hope. I mean, the way I like to put it is, you know, we can be pro-hospital without being pro-illness. Nobody's advocating for divorce here. We're just saying, if you find yourself in a step-family situation, we want to help you go the distance. We want to help your family be redemptive. We want to help your family. We want this marriage to be your last.
Hey, Ron, because we're talking sort of this idea of how to avoid the 5 biggest mistakes that step-families make. You said something that I'm curious if this is one of the mistakes. Do a lot of step-families sort of treat their new blended family like a first-time married family? I mean, is that a common mistake that people make?
Yes, it is, and it is one of the big mistakes. The way I like to put it is, it's a mistake not to have a blueprint for the home that you're building. And unfortunately, what most people do is they just kind of make the assumption that the blueprint for the biological family home is also going to be the blueprint for our step-family home. And that seems like a small assumption, but it is absolutely it's a huge assumption, because what it does is it flows over into all sorts of, has all sorts of implications. So, for example, well, I have children of my own, and now I'm becoming a step-parent to my spouse's children, so I'm going to parent the same way I parent my kids. That's based on that biological family blueprint, right?
Right.
Makes sense. And it makes sense, and yet it doesn't work. And oftentimes it backfires and creates stress. And we can talk about those details later. But that's an example. Here's one thing I'm doing visually with people. So maybe you can begin to just imagine for a minute. If you're driving the biological family vehicle, it looks like a Volvo. Okay? You with me? You know, great.
I'm with you.
Great,
safe,
protection,
steady. Yep.
You know, wins all the awards for you know handling the road, and you got 4 wheels on the ground. If you're driving a single parent home, it looks like a 3-wheeler, right? It might be souped up, but it's got 3 wheels. Now notice it'll tip a little easier than a 4-wheel vehicle, and it's very, you know, subject to side impact, right? So there's some vulnerabilities in single parent families that biological families don't have. If you're driving a step family home, it's a 2-wheeled bicycle. you're very vulnerable from all sides. There's only two wheels, and you have to balance it well. And oh, by the way, it's really more like, have you ever seen those gymnasts where they have eight people hanging on a bicycle and they're, you know, going down the road and somehow they're not falling over, you know? That's what it's like to kind of drive the step family. There's a lot of vulnerabilities. There's a lot of nuances. It takes tremendous coordination and balance. You can do it, but you better have some instruction about driving that vehicle as opposed to driving the Volvo.
And there's no way to do it without core strength, I'm just saying.
Yeah, of course.
That was at the Dixie Stampede last night,
by the way. So. You need some abdominal strength to handle that thing. So we'd love to take your questions on Twitter as well, and that's at Focus Every Day. We've got a Twitter question from Tanya. She says, I think I may have given up. My stepkids are 16 and 19. We've been married 5 years and still haven't found any harmony yet. Mm-hmm. What can you say to Tanya?
Yeah, well, first of all, without knowing any more of the details that, you know, we could perhaps address, I would just say, you know, hang in. One of the things that we know about step families is time is the answer to a lot of things, meaning things don't happen quickly. I hear her saying it's been 5 years and we're still not finding harmony. Well, the average step family needs around 7 years to find some sense of harmony. And so, okay, it sounds like you're par for the course, actually, rather than rather than doing poorly, you might be right on track. You just didn't know it. So stay with it. Now, we also have to get some answers and some relationship building going, and we're going to start with your marriage, and we're going to look at that, because if that doesn't go well, you really can't maneuver all the other things that you have to try to balance. And so, yeah, we want to get some solutions into your life and then begin to try to build from there. Mm-hmm. But don't give up.
Mm-hmm. Now, 7 years to find stability.
Yeah.
So you sit here and you say that. Wow.
Let me say
because
it again.
Because I imagine there's a lot of people that expectation is that we can blend pretty quick, maybe a couple of years, but you're saying seven.
Yeah. 25% of step couples will divorce in the first 2 years. 50% will divorce in the first 3 years, but it takes anywhere from 5 to 7 years to really find your groove as a family, to find that fit, to find that identity where people begin to feel like, hey, you know what, this is home, and I have relationships that I can trust. We have traditions now. We have I know where I belong and how I belong in this place. That's average, 5 to 7 years. Now, a lot of people hearing that, they're thinking, oh, my goodness, you know, wow, we're at year two. We've got a long ways to go. But there's hope in this. Yeah. See, that's the thing I want you to see is that's normal.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the analogy I really love to use is how do you cook a step family? And it's not with a blender. And it's not with a microwave because they're both quick and fast and they use a lot of friction and heat and they force ingredients
together. I'm thinking crock pot.
That's it. You got it.
Yes.
You cook it with a crock pot, right?
Mm.
And
looked
that
ahead.
Takes six
yeah,
or
I don't
seven.
Even know what that is, but
you know, six or seven years. Yeah, 6 or 7 hours to cook something in the crock pot. Mm. 6 or 7 years to cook a step family.
You know, it reminds me of is you know, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you go through. I would think that would be offer hope, Ron, because it's saying don't be surprised that this is hard because it can get better, right?
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people put themselves in the category of being a failure because things are not harmonizing quickly, and I immediately say to them, no, that's normal. That's normal. You're normal. I hate to tell you, but you're normal. And there's hope in that statement to say we got to keep pressing through.
Mm. You know, Ron, I know one of the things that I'd love for you to talk about is that, you know, the truth is that God says when we go through hard times, go through trials, he's going to give us some real benefits. I'd love to hear about what are some of the benefits that maybe a step family can expect to receive. Mm. So let's talk about that here in just a second.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're talking to Ron Deal. Love to take your calls as well. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the benefits, believe it or not, benefits, but also some of the mistakes we can make in blended families. Talking to Ron Deal. More with him after the break.
Can you be be the hands and feet of Jesus at the same time you're raising kids? Author Tricia Goyer says the two actually go hand in hand.
I think, you know, when we talk about Jesus and wanting to be the hands of Jesus, I think one of the things Jesus said is, bring the little children to me. And so many times we think we're managing these little kids. We're like, do this, do that. We're telling them to clean their room. We're telling them to, wash the dishes. But we forget sometimes to just bring them to us, bring them on our lap. And I think that's been the benefit of having 3-year-older kids. And then now we have our 2-year-old again. We know how quickly they grow up. I mean, it's amazing that my oldest son is 23. And so with that 2-year-old, you can guarantee I'm hugging on her all the time. I'm holding her. And just like Jesus was saying, come to me, come here. Just have some snuggle time with me and really appreciate just the closeness with those little ones.
Learn more about how to lead your family like Jesus at leadyourfamilylikejesus.com.
Hi, this is Greg Smalley. Thanks for listening to Everyday Relationships, Real Life, Real Talk. Here's a story of hope from Abigail.
Focus on the Family had people who were vulnerable and honest about their families not being perfect, but they still had hope, and it was always Christ-centered.
Focus on the Family equips the next generation with a biblical foundation for marriage and trusted parenting advice.
I'm learning a lot about what God's role is for a single woman, and then eventually when I'm married and when I'm a mother. And I think that I'll continue to listen and just gain more wisdom.
Help us strengthen new moms and dads and encourage new marriages. Become a monthly donor today. Let us know that we can count on you for monthly support at FocusOnTheFamily.com.
Make every day count with your marriage. Here's a tip from Focus on the Family's head of marriage and family formation, Dr. Greg Smalley.
I think one of the ways that we renew our commitment to our marriage each and every day is to wake up, first of all, with an attitude that says that I cherish my wife. I value my marriage. Hebrews 13:4 says that marriage should be honored by all. Honor is a mindset, something that I treasure beyond anything else. But what will I do today to have a strong marriage? We have to invest every single day. There's no cruise control in marriage. So I need to be thinking, not only do I cherish and value my marriage, but I need to do something today that will bless my spouse.
That's just one idea to help you make every day count. Get more ideas online at facebook.com/makeeverydaycount from Focus on the Family.
Ever watch a young boy try to follow his father's footsteps? Or a little girl giggle whenever mommy and daddy kiss? It's the little things you do that your kids will remember most. Leaving this kind of legacy isn't complicated, but in the big things, like making an impact through your will, you want your decisions to bless the lives of others. When you remember Focus on the Family in your will, you're not just helping families thrive, you're making a lasting difference. You're leaving a legacy of hope and healing for generations of families to come. Plan to make a difference. Learn more about estate planning and leaving a lasting legacy at FocusGiftPlanning.com or call 1-800-A-FAMILY. That's FocusGiftPlanning.com or call 800, the letter A, and the word family.
Welcome back to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family. I'm Greg Smalley along with Susie Larson. You know, we're here every day to have real conversations about relationships. And today we're talking about how to avoid the 5 biggest mistakes that step families can make. We've got a great guest, Ron Deal. So we encourage you, if you've got a question about maybe your step family, maybe there's an issue around disciplining or how do we have carve out time as a married couple. I mean, whatever the issue you might be facing, you've got a great chance. We've got Ron Deal here. Give us a call at 877-933-2484. You can post a question on Everyday Relationships Radio. That's our Facebook page. You know, Susie, so far we've heard kind of one
of the mistakes that a stepfamily can make. And Ron shared that, you know, stepfamilies try to almost treat their new blended family like a first-time marriage. And there's really some key differences between a stepfamily and biological family. And that's important. And then I love how Ron talked about that the right expectation is 7 years to really find stability. And I had no idea. That's amazing. Ron, before the break, though, we talked about God's promises in the scripture throughout. Talk mm-hmm. about when we go through hard times, so a stepfamily maybe has faced a divorce or the death of a parent, you know, that he's going to give them some real benefits. What would stand out are some benefits of being in a stepfamily?
You know, I really believe stepfamily's done poorly, unfortunately, just heap more pain onto hurting people. But stepfamily's done well are redemptive. They're redemption centers, if you will, for really everybody involved, for the adults. I mean, think about it. You know, you're gaining a partner or a lover, a friend, a companion, someone to share life with. You know, the financial gains that come when two people marry and live and share that with one another, and just sharing Christ in a deep relationship with somebody. There's an intimacy there that can only come through a healthy marriage, and that's redemptive for that couple. For the children, they're gaining, well, number one, a healthy marriage model. Not all children in stepfamilies have seen a divorce or experienced a divorce, but most of them have. And now they're seeing a healthy marriage relationship, which begins to counteract all the negative that's already implanted in their heart and in their mind. And so that's huge. It gives them more of a stable parenting system when the stepfamily is done well, which, again, creates more of a climate where they're able to grow and understand what love is and the qualities and attributes of God that are conveyed to them through their family. They get to witness, you know, just a healthy environment that then propels them into the next generation. And I think that's the third redemption, is the legacy that has changed in the life of that family, the message that has changed. We go from being a family of brokenness to a family that's caught up into the narrative of God and restoring them. And now we have a generation that shifts that, right? Wow. That changes it for the next generation as they grow.
That's just beautiful, Ron. And before the break, you kind of gave the analogy that a first-time marriage family, they're in a car, a protected car, where a blended family's on a bike with all the acrobatics people hanging on them and balancing. And so they're both vulnerable, but they also require extra strength. And so that speaks to the need for support from the church. And Greg, when you and I were doing show prep today, you shared a story of something that happened with Aaron's friend. And I would love for you to share that, because I feel like after you share that, I would love, Ron, for you to speak to the whole idea of the church's support of blended families. Because if they're twice as vulnerable and they need twice the strength, we need to be there for them. So would you mind sharing that story, Greg?
Yeah, my wife was just yesterday talking to a good friend of hers who lives in the area. And when this woman here about a year ago got remarried, she just was talking about that in the receiving line. So as people
at
are coming
wedding.
By. Yeah, at her wedding. She's in her wedding gown. People are, you know, congratulating them. A guy walked up and just said, you know, essentially, you know, I can't remember the right word that he used, but it was like this idea of don't be up here bragging.
Don't gloat.
Don't gloat. That was it. Mm-hmm. He said to her, don't gloat. And just crushed her.
Yeah.
And to Susie's point, it just, I mean, how can we do a better job, Ron, of really, as a church, as Christians, supporting blended families? Because we need them to be successful.
You know, I'll just tell you, I hear a lot of pride and arrogance in what that man said, and he's not willing to look at his own sin. We need humility. Mm-hmm. We need to consider our own sin and then think about where other people are and try to, again, let the church be a place that's pro-hospital. Mm-hmm. Without being pro-illness, we're encouraging people to walk with God and let Him redeem their story.
Wow. And you think about it, if Jesus refused to offer us mercy when we need it most, where would we be? And mercy triumphs over judgment. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. We're so blessed to have Ron Deal here talking about blended families, the benefits, the vulnerabilities, how we as a church can support these precious blended families. Maybe you've got a story to tell, a question to ask. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. More with Ron Deal after this.
Hi, this is Greg Smalley. Thanks for listening to Everyday Relationships, Real Life, Real Talk. Here's a story of hope from Marissa and Ben that began 9 years ago.
There was a lot of sin issues that he had brought to the marriage, and I had called Focus on the Family first year of our marriage and just asked them to pray for me.
Focus on the Family is here to help your marriage, and that's why one of our counselors called Marissa a year later to follow up.
I was having a really rotten day and feeling like I didn't want to stay in the marriage any longer, and my phone rang, and the gentleman stayed on the phone with me and listened and just prayed. And I am so thankful to report we've been married for nine and a half years now, and he has been winning victories over sin ever since that phone call.
Because of your support, Focus on the Family helps couples like Marissa and Ben. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at focusonthefamily.com.
Ever watch a young boy try to follow his father's footsteps? Or a little girl giggle whenever mommy and daddy kiss? It's the little things you do that your kids will remember most. Leaving this kind of legacy isn't complicated, but in the big things, like making an impact through your will, you want your decisions to bless the lives of others. When you remember Focus on the Family in your will, you're not just helping families thrive, you're making a lasting difference. You're leaving a legacy of hope and healing for generations of families to come. Plan to make a difference. Learn more about estate planning and leaving a lasting legacy at focusgiftplanning.com or call 1-800-A-FAMILY. That's focusgiftplanning.com or call 800, the letter A, and the word family.
When I have a real problem, I go online. I have friends there that don't even really know me. I can tell them anything. Sometimes they don't answer. And like right now, things with me are getting a little out of hand.
Encouragement is a phone call away at the Focus on the Family Help Center. Someone from our staff will listen to you, pray with you, and get you the support you need. Just call us weekdays at 1-800-A-FAMILY. The Focus on the Family Help Center at 1-800-A-FAMILY.
I was blessed to have my dad in my life until I was 8 years old. His passing probably should have devastated my future. Once he was gone, life became really hard. Over the years, I heard so many negative messages, you know, like, you can't, you're not good enough, you won't succeed. I didn't understand it, but somehow, they were all drowned out by one voice, my father's. In our short time together, he was constantly reaffirming me and reminding me that I was important to him and to God. He pictured a special future for me, helping me look beyond my circumstances and to dream of what I could be. Now I understand why his words had the greatest impact. He was giving me his blessing.
The blessing. It's biblical, it's permanent, and it's one of the most powerful things you can do for your child. Find out more about the blessing at focusonthefamily.com/blessing.
Can you pass the ketchup, honey?
Dinner conversation can be tough, like getting ketchup out of a bottle.
So, Amber, what happened at school today?
Nothing.
Really?
But having regular dinner together gives kids a better chance to thrive.
Anybody act stuck up today? Kind of like this ketchup?
Yeah, Chloe is. She says that I'm taking sides with Jordan and Zoe. Here, Dad, let me get that.
Family dinner is just one way to help your family thrive. For more tips, visit facebook.com/makeeverydaycount.
This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson, and we're so blessed to be joined by Ron Deal today, talking about the blessings of blended families, the challenges, the vulnerabilities. And if you need more information on Ron's ministry, you can find it at smartstepfamilies.com. smartstepfamilies.com, talking about his book, The Smart Step Family, today. And Ron, before the break, we were talking about really the need for the church to step up and to really support and strengthen. Say a word about that before you finish that list of mistakes that blended families often and make.
You know, again, the church is a place of redemption. It's a place of healing. It's where we draw people in. And often stepfamilies are very marginalized from the faith and from Christians out of fear, out of judgment sometimes, whether that be self-shame or things that others have said to them, like the story that Greg shared. And yet we're calling people back to a walk with the Lord, and I think we ought to do that. And we need to remind step families, God uses you in spite of who we are, in spite of our imperfections. I mean, let's just think about it for a minute. Look at the Old Testament families and how messed up they were, right? And by the way, the lineage of Christ, if you take a look at the book of Luke and you look at the genealogy, and at least 20% of those are documented in the Old Testament as being step families. Mm-hmm. Step families of a different size and shape and color, multiple marriages instead of divorce and remarriage, but nevertheless look just like modern-day step families. And the other 80%, we don't know anything about the family situation. We just have a name. And my guess is a large percentage of those were step families. God uses us in our situations to do amazing things if we allow him, if we submit, if we walk, if we bring ourselves to him, he'll redeem the story.
You know what, in which I love, and it's all, especially as we move closer to Easter, just that you know, it's always about hope.
Yeah.
But what are, so sort of just give us some of these other mistakes that, that a step family really needs to be careful of as they build that thriving family.
Let's hit a few of them real quick. No plan for parenting. When I was doing my research for my latest book, it's called Dating and the Single Parent, and I was doing some research about couples that are dating and how they prepare to be a parenting team together. I was stunned to discover that somewhere between 50 and 75% of dating couples who have, at least one of them has a kid from another relationship, never talk about parenting before the wedding. They walk in with the assumption that we're adults and we can figure this out, or you've got kids, I've got kids, maybe we both have kids and we know how to be parents. They don't even engage the dialogue around how they're going to raise the children or how they're going to play to one another's strengths. You're a biological parent, you've got a relationship with your kids that I don't have. How do we play to that strength? And oftentimes they don't even realize that being the step-parent is a different role, and it has limitations built into it. And so there's just a lack of planning around parenting. And guess what? The parenting issues then become catalysts for stress in the marriage, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it starts there, but it ends up in coupleness. Starts with familyness, as I say, but it ends up in coupleness, and then it erodes the couple's relationship, which leads to that high divorce rate. So this is not a small thing. It's rather a very big thing. No plan for parenting. You've really got to do your homework. Another big mistake that I see with people is that the couples don't deal with fear. Now, Greg, I know you've spent a lot of time writing and teaching about fear and its impact on a relationship. What we found in some of the research that Dr. David Olson and I did for the book, The Remarriage Checkup, we actually took a deep dive look at how does fear impact couples' relationships. All couples have some measure of fear.
Right.
But what we found is that remarried couples, where there's a past, you've been hurt, wounded, beat up in a previous relationship, have an even higher rate of fear. As a matter of fact, we found jealousy, which is kind of really the fear of being replaced. Right. If you're jealous of your spouse and their time with their kids, for example, you're really just fearful that the kids hold a place in the person's heart that you wish you held. Right. So it's a fear, concern that this relationship is not going to last like the last one didn't last. Worry that if I invest all of myself in you or in us, that somehow it's all going to fall apart and I'm going to get hurt again. We found that those factors, fear, worry, and concern over the future, predicted with 93% accuracy whether couples had great marriages or lousy ones.
Wow.
Interesting.
93% accuracy. It was amazing.
So what do you do
when we fleshed it out?
Yeah, so if I have those fears, what would you say to me? How what's one thing I could do differently?
Well, first of all, start looking in the mirror instead of staring at your spouse. I mean, and you
or my medal, because I'm wearing my medal right now. I'm just saying.
What we tend to do when we're feeling uneasy about the place we hold in our spouse's heart, we tend to get angry and critical at them. But really, the thing to do is put on a mode of humility and look in the mirror and say, "What is this showing me about me? What is this revealing in my heart, and how do I take this to God?" There's a ghost I call the ghost of marriage past, you know, that it's going to happen again. It's haunting me. It's making me worried and stressed, and so I tend to get critical or angry with you.
So I got to deal with that stuff.
And instead, I got to deal with me. I got to deal with this ghost and become a ghost buster so I can get this thing out of our marriage.
Mm.
And that's where it starts. And, of course, there's a lot of other implications. But that's really the change moment for couples is dealing with that fear and that ghost.
That's good.
That is so good. You know, often I hear, you just have a couple minutes, Ron, but I hear this often from blended families where the wife might say, these are my biological kids, and I'm so conflicted because I feel I have to protect them, but I have to prioritize my marriage. And how do they work that out? Who's number one? Of course, Jesus is, but you know what I'm saying? In that dynamic, how do they do that?
Right. And it's a loaded question, because when people say, well, my spouse is number one and then my kids are number two, what other people hear is, oh, you're now discounting your kids. You're abandoning your kids. You're dropping them off at the corner and driving away. No. No, it's not that. The way I like to say it is, your spouse is the number one adult in your life, and your kids are the number one kids in your life. Mm. I mean, you're committed to both. That happens in a first marriage, right? When Greg and Aaron when Greg spends time with one of their children, Aaron's not jealous of that. She knows that he's investing as a dad.
Yeah.
She
right?
is, but when I keep bringing home medals.
Yeah, there you go.
But,
and in the same way, when he spends time with Aaron, you know, they're nurturing their relationship. And nobody feels in competition. Well, in a step family, there's a built-in competition that you have to work through. Mm. But ultimately, you're not being disloyal when you're spending time with either the kids or your spouse. So it's not either or, it's both and. Mm. And that's how you balance that.
Well, Ron, we've got to have you back. I mean, there's so much more that we could talk about. We just want to say thank you so much for being willing to come on and just share your expertise, man. So appreciate you.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
God bless you, Ron. You can find him again at smartstepfamilies.com. So glad you tuned in today. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. When we come back for the wrap, Greg will address some myths that we often tend to believe in blended families, and he'll bring truth and clarity to those situations. Really, really glad you tuned in today. Stick around for Greg's wrap in just a moment.
Marriages in trouble don't always look like they're in trouble. In fact, Christian couples often struggle in silence. Why? Because people are afraid to talk about their problems, because they're ashamed of how they feel inside. If that describes you, call the Focus on the Family Help Center. We'll listen to you, pray with you, and help you find counseling if you want it. Just call us weekdays at 1-800-A-FAMILY. The Focus on the Family Help Center. Just a phone call away at 1-800-A-FAMILY.
When you think of a leader, who comes to mind? Here's author Ken Blanchard.
Your job is to help them live according to the family values, live according to the rules that you have and the goals that you've set in mind. But then you turn it upside down and you work for them. That's the servant part of servant leadership.
In the new book, Lead Your Family Like Jesus, you'll get powerful parenting principles from relationship management authors Ken Blanchard, Phil Hodges, and Tricia Goyer. Visit leadyourfamilylikejesus.com for details.
They arrested him. Period.
Jesus of Nazareth, come with us.
They convicted him. Period.
He has spoken blasphemy.
They mocked him. Period. They crucified him. Period. They killed him. Comma.
It is finished.
They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where to find him.
He is not here. He is risen, just as he said.
I have seen the Lord.
Reach out your hand. Put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.
My Lord and my God.
Jesus, coming back soon.
Candy, the flowers, the music, and talking till wee morning hours.
Oh, Rhonda, this dizzying pace. There aren't words to describe what I see in your face.
Will you love me forever? Oh, say you will.
Oh, I will. Do you want to get married?
Oh, I do. Hey, John, you're a slob. Get your shoes off the chair.
Ron, your clothing is lying in piles everywhere, and your hair.
My hair?
Yeah, your hair is a mess. Oh,
well, your breath in the morning is the kiss of death.
Where'd the music go, Rhonda? The merry-go-round.
Our love boat's in danger of running aground.
Remember our courtship, Ron? It wasn't by chance.
What we did then, let's do now. Rekindle romance.
Now I hear it again. There's the music.
Let's dance.
Love. It's more than a feeling. It's a choice husbands and wives make over and over again. A message from Focus on the Family and this station.
Glad to have you with us today. Welcome to Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson, and we were so blessed to talk with Ron Deal. And before the break, we were talking about mistakes that blended families make. And I think it's important to identify those, Greg, because otherwise you go in with sort of a blinded expectation, and then you become disappointed. So what are some other mistakes that blended families often run into?
Yeah, Susie, when my dad and I wrote the book, The Heart of Remarriage, there were some things that really stood out as we interviewed hundreds of people who were in a blended family and just said, hey, what have you done well? What advice would you give? And boy, a couple things really stood out. One of the big ones that I heard was around discipline. This is a common thing that we get a lot of questions from, you know, from constituents here at Focus. And, you know, oftentimes it's about discipline. And I think for a lot of step families, the step parent moves too quickly and tries to, you know, jump in and be the parent, be the father, be the mom, you know, discipline too quick. Whereas I really think the key needs to be that you've got to err on the side of nurturing and building the relationship, and then discipline second. You know, for a step parent, let that biological parent in the beginning, you know, until you've really established that relationship, take care of the discipline. But you stand united. You guys agree on the discipline, but let them do that so that you can really focus in on really building that relationship. You know, Susie, I think another mistake is really it's not building individual relationships. And within the step family, I think the expectation, the myth is that relationships will fall easy and it's working with this child, but maybe there's another child, maybe an older child that you're not connecting with, and you've got to think individual. So every child is going to be different. How you approach that child and the way that you build that relationship is key. And you just have to remain patient and you know, initiate activities, you know, for those younger kids. Maybe it's a board game, things that I think that allow you to kind of be a little distracted. You know, as guys, we love kind of these side-by-side activities. So, you know, go play a board game, go play ping pong, go shoot baskets, you know, go see a movie, you know, those kinds of things. Start to build. I think building traditions is a great way to build individual relationships. And maybe with each child, have your own unique tradition. You know, another one is when rules and routines are not clear. I think you've got to provide structure for kids, any family, but especially for a blended family. You need those rules and routines. And then you've got to make sure that your marriage relationship is a top priority. Kids have to feel safe and secure. And the only way that's going to happen, if they know that mom and dad are strong, they're united, they're working on their marriage, they're growing. And Susie, I think those are some of the mistakes that are important. Because remember, like Ron said, there's always hope, and God can help you to create a thriving step-family relationship.
And Greg, thanks so much for making time on your vacation to be here. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. Join us tomorrow. We'll be talking to national recording artist Michael O'Brien, who walked away from a successful music career to say yes to his family. That's tomorrow. Check us out on Twitter at Focus Every Day. Meet you back here tomorrow. Bless you.
People rely on Focus on the Family for trusted advice based in biblical truth. But how do you cope with a culture that opposes truth? In his new book, Refocus, Focus on the Family President Jim Daly encourages us to demonstrate the love of Christ by the way we live our lives.
To live out our faith in front of the world, in our marriages, in our families. I think this world will change quickly.
Help transform the culture with the powerful advice you'll find in Jim Daly's new book, Refocus. For more information, visit FocusOnTheFamily.com.
Hi, I'm Sam, a dad with questions, and I would appreciate your suggestions about terrible twos and sweet 16s and all the ages in between. What if she's a bit too hyper? Is there such thing as an odor-free diaper? What about lessons in karate? How do I get her to use the potty?
Got questions? Get answers. Join the conversation with other dads at FocusOnTheFamily.com/dadmatters. Because dads, you do.